up, Moncton? Welcome to another episode of the Moncton Wildcast podcast. I am Adam. I am your host. And as always, I am here with my two co-hosts, Mr. Jeremy Boucher.
I am wearing a hood right now. Therefore, I am in the freaking zone.
And my other co-host, Mr. Chris Dobson.
I was going to say I was in Jeremy's hoodie, but that would sound really bad. So I'm also in a hoodie. However, I am not in the zone.
You can't see, but they are not lying to you just for this show's purpose. Guys, we are now 4-3 on a two-game winning streak. So let's get right to recapping the two games. Saturday, 3-1 victory over the Armada with goals from McKenna, Peltz, and Seitz. Your thoughts on that one?
That was a complete 60-minute effort.
I will agree.
Absolutely. I would say best full-round game we've seen Moncton play. They talked about exactly what they were looking for. The D played well. The systems were in place. Everything looked great. LeClaire played unreal too. I mean, at the end of the day, you're right. Best game I've seen them play.
Yep. They just didn't stop coming at them. They just kept going and going and going. And I thought it was going overtime. Yeah, going and going and going. I thought it was going to overtime, to be honest with you.
Oh, at no point did I feel that was going to OT.
Really?
No, I thought it was a great game overall. And don't get me wrong, Blainville played very well.
Yeah.
But no, it's just this is the Moncton Wildcat team that we've been talking about since we started doing this show. We've been talking about the talent. We've been talking about everything they've been doing right. We were all a little concerned after a couple of losses to start the season a little bit. The question was there, do we panic? And everyone said, no, we don't. This is all going to work out. It's still really early. Again, are we going to win every game between now and the rest of the year?
Yes.
I like your head, but no. No, it's not going to happen. But ultimately, you've got to be pleased. If you're Darren Rumble, and Jeremy, we were talking about this a little earlier, Rumble had some pretty high praise for this game.
Yeah, he did. He went off to Neil Hodge and said this was the most complete effort from a Wildcats team in 6 years.
Which is pretty incredible. If you think about the last 6 years and what Wildcat teams he's had on this ice, I think it's a pretty solid compliment because there's been some pretty good teams out there.
And you can tell, there was multiple mentions of this, that they had some pretty hard practices last week. And their efforts on Saturday and Sunday, you could tell.
Well, that game against Cape Breton last week that they came off on the loss, you're right. Darren said himself, Coach Rumble was just in the paper, said, we'll work this out in practice this week before we hit the road. Don't worry about that.
And he was right. And you, in fact, called that was going to be the start of the winning streak. Was that one, and that's what they carried into on Sunday up in Bathurst, and they absolutely pumped that team. And I put on Twitter that with Grammett Bauer starting, it was going to go one of two ways. He was going to shut them out and know them, or they were going to light him up. And fortunately for this show, they lit him up with 5 goals in the first 10 minutes to end his night, and you feel bad for him, but that's... I felt it was going to go one of those two ways.
Let's take the personal side out of it for a minute, because no, I don't feel bad for him anymore. He's in enemy territory. I love the kid to death. I'm just teasing, Mark. Yeah. You know that. But ultimately, you're right. We've been waiting for a spark from the offense that we have been boasting on this podcast for weeks.
Yes.
We finally saw it. The question is how do we keep our foot on the gas? How do we make sure this continues to go? And everybody had a great effort. Jack Tucker scored. Like, when that happens as a defenseman.
And that was a perfectly placed shot, too.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's not a shot at Jack. I told you, he, to me, and when we did our first show, he was the kid I was looking to see big things from this year. Now, the question people saw on Twitter, and I was asking, well, it was against Bathurst. And I was like, that doesn't matter. Who cares who it's against?
They have arguably one of the best defensemen in the Canadian Hockey League.
Without a question.
And they were riding high.
As they should be.
Yeah.
It's blown away. Great effort again. Back-to-back nights to see Moncton, come away with a couple wins. That Bathurst win was huge. Absolutely huge.
Yeah, a couple notes. I want to go back to the Blainville game for a second. I had to laugh because that goal that Jeremy McKenna scored, probably not the prettiest goal he's ever going to score. Original shot stopped by Samson, and then he goes after his own rebound, and then the Armada defenseman goes to clear the puck away from the crease, and it goes off McKenna's leg.
Feels like those are the goals early on that were going in off us, not we were getting right.
So we're finally getting the bounces, they're coming our way. Katarinakis's goal, I mean, it was just a perfect shot.
That was, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't think it went in.
It was beautiful.
I didn't think it went in.
It went short side, and he roofed. It was beautiful.
I thought it hit the post and come right back out. It was that quick.
LeClaire went down a little early.
Maybe. Maybe a little.
In my opinion.
And you're right. I mean, but at the end of the day, there's nothing you can do against a perfectly placed shot.
No, and that's where they tell you to shoot. It was right between by the head where the goalie can't get with his glove, and that's exactly where he put that thing.
To me, in my opinion, one of the big things that started, you know, everything, and I'm going to, like, I mean, again, you talk about, like, a hard worker. Dylan Seitz, when he, when he went toe-to-toe with Joel Teasdale after the, you know, the hit came on in, everything kind of went the way it did. Aspero got hit. Seitz stepped in right away.
And wasn't going to let him go. Like, was trying to get him and then finally hooked him, like, we're doing this.
So, you know, it's one of those things where we've been talking and everyone keeps saying, like, where's that level? Like, when somebody runs the goaltender, because Lavallee's been run quite a bit. LeClaire's been run quite a bit.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about this last week, I think. You know, when your top line keeps getting clipped on and chipped on, a guy like Dylan Seitz is the guy who's going to make sure this enough's enough.
Yeah.
You know, you hit Aspero, who usually holds his own. He's like, and you know, trading that swap off, having Teasdale come off the ice for Dylan Seitz.
I'll take
that trade off any day of the week.
Yep.
You know, it's, you know, anyways, if I had to pick a hardest worker award, Dylan Seitz would be my guy. And again, hats off to you.
One thing I got to point out in that game, it's got to be mentioned. Brady Pataki takes a high sticking double minor with about 6.5 minutes left in the game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sitting there watching the game and I'm thinking, oh, I know their penalty kill is great, but with, you know, 6.5 minutes left in the game, you got a power play that's going to take you to the 2.5 minute mark. They managed to kill it off, but I have to give mad props to Kyle Foreman. He blocked a shot on that penalty kill.
That hurt right away.
That hurt
right away.
Right.
That's how you do. You can tell he went balls to the wall to block that shot. And it stung. You could tell it hurt.
Yep.
But that's what you got to do. Like, you want to talk about a kid that deserves his ice time?
Oh.
Man, yeah. They kill the penalty, and then what happens? A minute and a half later, they go and, right, they get Pelche and game-winning
on the doorstep.
Goal.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the empty netter by Seitz, 0.2 seconds left. But what happens on the empty netter? Capanelli extends his point streak to 6 games.
Yep.
With 0.2 seconds left in the game. So those are just a couple of keys that I wanted to bring up, because I couldn't let Kyle Foreman not get a shout out just for that. I mean, it stung me just watching it.
Yeah, I know. I was like, oh, that hurts right away. A couple other notes from the Bathurst game. First ever goal for NKF.
That's right. About 10 seconds left in the game.
Yeah.
But that was deserved. Like,
oh, without a question.
Yeah. You got a power play with 2 minutes left in the game. Put your fourth line out. So that was...
it's one of those where he's probably like, if I want to score my goal, I want to see the celebration. It's going to be
epic.
Oh, I scored it 8-1 and I don't want to rub it in.
He got one fist pump in there and that was it. Yeah. But good on Rumble for putting out the fourth line on the power play about 2 minutes left, especially when the game's not even close.
And then Lavallee getting his first win, 21-22 saves. I was kind of hard on him a little bit off the show, but he responded. I mean, when your team's up 5-0 in the first 10 minutes... But he responded really well and got his first W, so congratulations to him.
You got to look at Moncton's power play of late, too. I mean, they've been clicking. You know, you look at that Bathurst game, I mean, I think they went 3-for-6 that night, too. And a lot of those, like, it's one of those things where it's a systems thing, and this is all the kinks they had to work through. I mean, their PK is still unbelievable.
They're top 10 in everything across the board.
Special teams is unreal. The power play's starting to click. They have so much offense right now, and it's just a matter of time. So just think about when Anderson McDonald's healthy enough to get into this lineup, right? I mean, you're adding another element of a pro shot on this hockey team that could absolutely help boost and bolster these lines. Like, from I hate to use this comparison right now, but you talk about offense, the Moncton Wildcats remind me a lot of the Leafs. Like, they are deep. And I know, buddy, it kills
all of us.
But at the same time, you look at every line on this team can score, and the chemistry's there, and they're finally starting to.
Yeah.
You know,
we talked about the top 9 leading up to it, and then their fourth line can kick in.
Right.
It's leaps and bounds where they can go, and if they clean up the defensive system like we talked about. So with that being said, let's look forward to what's happening this week. They're in Gatineau tonight, and then they've got Saturday, Sunday with Rouyn-Noranda and Val-d'Or. Any thoughts on the road trip? I do wish with Gatineau that they would go back to colored uniforms. The orange and the purple, I think that's awesome. I don't like the black and white.
I disagree.
We already have our modern black and white. Give me the purple, and that's from goaltending and color schemes, but I love the purple.
Gatineau had the black and white before Blaineville.
No, they were purple or they were the Phoenix
a while
Suns
ago.
When they were the Hull Olympics.
When they were, yeah.
Oh, was
yeah.
it the Hull?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought
and
it was.
And then Blaineville was an expansion team coming into the league.
Right.
And then, yeah. So, no.
I just don't like the black and white. I look at their logo. I almost put it on for my game day thing today because I just liked it better. But let's not focus on the colors. Let's focus on Gatineau and the ghost in the rink, as you alluded to last week.
That's right. I brought up the ghost in the rink last week, and he was up to his old tricks. They had some water problems at the Bob this morning, so caused the Wildcats to miss their morning skates. So, hey, I'm not lying when I'm talking about the ghost. It's this is legit.
Yeah. Do we expect LeClaire to go back-to-back? Like,
not
back-to-back.
Yeah.
Like, he'll play Gatineau and Ren.
He's going to start.
And then Lavallee will probably play Badour.
Yeah. That's
I believe so.
Easily what the most obvious thing is to do. I think Lavallee will probably get maybe 3 of the next 10 games, which will be a good fit for him.
Yeah, I don't even know where they go after. Well, they come home to Halifax.
Yeah, come home to Halifax. That'll be a LeClaire game.
Yeah, they've got Halifax here on the 17th in Moncton. And then after that's done, I believe, I could be wrong, that's Saturday, Shawinigan's in town on the 20th.
So he'll probably get Shawinigan.
You want to talk about Shawinigan?
Because they're not very good.
Shawinigan.
My, that team. There's been 22 goalies who have made appearances in the league this year, and their goalies rank 21st and 22nd.
The only one worse is the kid from St. John.
There's not even one that's worse.
Yeah. The
look it up. I looked at it last Silva. Night. I looked at it last night.
All right. Well,
Hey, maybe I'm wrong, but last time I checked.
All right. No. Yeah. The other night I looked, DiOrio was a lot worse than them, or maybe that was last year.
But that's
still.
That's not great. And to think that Matthew Waite got traded there and they went and released him.
Right.
Like.
Right.
Are you kidding me?
No. You're right.
They won their first one, I think, and
they won their first game.
Row, right.
They've lost 7 in a row since.
That's crazy.
And their first game, and there was their Euro from Switzerland, got 3 goals and a hat trick. Everybody's like, "Oh, this guy's going to be an absolute stud." And what? I think he's got 1 goal since. Talk about falling off the tracks.
So I was just looking at Moncton's numbers, like in regards to special teams, what we're talking about. So right now, Moncton's sitting 4th in the league on the power play, and then if we go to the PK,
it's like 6th or something.
They're second.
Second?
Yeah. Their penalty kill is amazing.
Yeah, they're at 90% in the PK.
They're up.
Maybe something else. Maybe it's the home or the away split I was looking at, not the overall.
Right. So if you look at it that way, it's just like, man, everything's going well. I mean, yes, the wins, loss track, everything. I don't know. This team is starting to do everything it's supposed to do, and it's doing it right.
And you called it.
Of course,
you said.
Of course, I did.
But we don't get to. We don't get your evaluation until next week.
But I mean, I get it. I'm supposed to be humble here.
He knows his stuff.
Humble.
Like he's done this before. So now let's just move into some around the queue type news. The question that was on the website, which team is more susceptible to remain at the top of its division? Baie-Comeau, Drummondville, Rouyn-Noranda, and Halifax.
Oof. I'll let you take that first one. Go ahead. Who do you think?
I want to say Halifax or Drummondville. I don't know if Baie-Comeau can stay there with Rimouski. I think those two will battle all year long, but I would say
Halifax.
I like
that Rimouski's not on this list, but you put them there.
Because they're second. They're going to come. They're going to get there is what I feel. I just don't know if Baie-Comeau can sustain what they've been doing all year long.
Right.
But my guess would probably be Drummondville once Comtois comes back, if he comes back. If.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go with Rouyn-Noranda. I don't. I can't see Gatineau keeping up with them. Val-d'Or absolutely not keeping up with them. Blaineville not keeping up with them. Rouyn-Noranda's going to run away with that division.
So you talked about Comtois. So Comtois's got 3 games in the National Hockey League right now with 2 goals and an assist. He's a +2 right now.
First shot of the season for them was a goal.
30 seconds in. I'm just saying for him specifically.
Yeah.
Him coming back determines, and I think we mentioned it last week, like I'll be curious to see what Drummondville's going to do if Max cracks this squad, and every indication to me right now proves that he's ready to go. He's able to play here.
Yeah. I don't think he would have if Perry was out. I think he's getting his look because Corey Perry is out.
Without a doubt.
Yeah. And he's taking every...
And he's capitalizing.
Yeah.
Absolutely he is. So anyways, at the end of the day, one stud like Max Comtois out of the league, you know, that's good for us and people in that division, I guess. I mean, it's good for him.
Yeah.
You know, and we've been watching this guy do what he does best for the last few years. I mean, you looked if you go back to that draft year, that was Joe Valeno's exceptional status draft year.
Right. Joe Valeno was number one. Comtois was number two. Morin was number three.
Morin went three. Right. So you look at that now. And then, of course, Comtois and Morin both get drafted to Anaheim.
Mm-hmm. And they're best friends, too.
Right. Absolutely. So it's super impressive to see this. So I know that they're kind of – it reminds me of a couple buddies that used to be in Moncton that ended up in St. Louis for a while, Barbashev and Yaskin. They were here. Now, obviously, Yaskin just got picked up on waivers by Washington. But that's the kind of camaraderie. These are the types of things you want to see in this league. Anyways, I don't know. But I felt the same way. Like Drummondville to me, I mean, Halifax is only going to get better, guys. Don't kid yourselves. I mean, if they need to make a move in net, they're going to make it.
Yeah,
well, they're going to win. They're going to stay atop the Maritime. They're a Memorial Cup host. They will do, and the league will make sure of it. Mark my words. They will do whatever they have to do within reason.
Yeah, they're not going to throw
No. But to make sure that – I mean, that's junior hockey.
Yeah.
If you're the host team, you help build that team ready to go.
Until the playoffs get there, and then you're on your own. Because the last few teams that have gotten there go out early and get that nice long rest. Like
and then come back
planned.
To win.
Yeah, like it's planned, which – whatever. I mean,
so anyways, Halifax is my. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying Halifax will remain at the top of the Maritime Division. It's not even close.
Halifax. You took Rwanda, right?
Yes, I did.
So when you actually click on the website, 60% says Halifax, 20% is Baie-Comeau, 11% for Drummondville, and only 9% for Rwanda.
So the other question you got to ask yourself too is in Rwanda, and again, you look who's out there now. I mean, Mario Pouliot's in Rwanda now. The big question mark is will they add at the deadline? You got to think they will.
Well,
They
added Jakub Lauko last week,
right?
Who is arguably a top six forward for the cost of nothing.
Well, that's
pretty,
nice.
Pretty impressive, right?
Like, this is a kid they've been trying to get for 2 years now.
Right.
Finally get him. Thank you, Boston Bruins.
Right.
He's going... It just changes them. We're going to see that on Saturday night.
Oh, they're going to be a fantastic team. Fun to watch. And... They're not done. I don't think they're done adding. Not even close. I think you'll see some big names end up in Rwanda come Christmas time.
Potentially someone with the same last name as you?
Or someone who plays defense in Charlottetown?
That's all going to depend on where Charlottetown sits. But yeah, maybe. I mean, anything's possible. I mean, Obviously it was leaked that Dobson was going to Chicoutimi. The question is he going for picks? Are they going to swap him right out of the gate? Nobody knows for sure, man. It's all speculation and rumor. But again,
we should get to the bottom of that. Let's break that.
No, but at the same time, there's a connection there. You got to remember, he just won a Memorial Cup with Mario Pouliot.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, if he was going to go to Halifax, Halifax had the assets, he'd be gone by now, right? That move would have been made. They made the move on everybody else.
Yep.
So if he was going to Chicoutimi, you got to think. Anyways, again, that's what we do in the media. It's our job to speculate. Yep. So either way.
And we're
going to
see this team on Saturday, and it's one of the ones that I'm kind of excited because I'll be honest, I don't. Just started with this league last year. I don't know a lot of the Quebec teams and where they looked from last year compared to this one, other than the ones that I saw and we played. But your guy that you took in our fan episode, Abandonado. He is
Peter.
he's on pace for a pretty damn good season. I said he was going to hit 100 points. He's going to hit 100 points easily. It's not just him. They got Raphael, Harvey Pinard. They got William Sear. They got... incredible depth in goaltending. Sam Harvey and Zach Ema, a kid they drafted last year, Bo Kaj, is off to a great start.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You also almost called Baie-Comeau, too. You said don't sleep on them.
No, that's right.
In that, and now they're 7-0.
I did, he says.
Well, if you look at Baie-Comeau, you want to see how they built their team. Go back to the 2016 draft in Charlottetown when they made that ridiculous trade with Halifax. When Halifax got the first overall and the second overall pick, and they took
Beaugrou and Jared McIsaac.
And Jared McIsaac. Baie-Comeau held the second pick, and they traded it to Halifax, and Baie-Comeau got a crap ton back. And if you look at, I'm thinking like 20% of their roster is just the picks they got back from that trade.
Wow.
It was an absolute blockbuster. I remember being in Charlottetown at that draft, and the crowd
went
nuts.
That. Chris and I were there. We were covering that draft.
The crowd went nuts.
It was crazy.
And you had, there was talks at Halifax, one of the top two picks, but for it to actually come to fruition was absolutely insane. One of the craziest moments I've ever experienced in junior hockey, especially the draft. Like, I'm a draft junkie, and this was nuts.
That was the same draft that I'm sure, if you recall, was that the draft? I'm trying to think. Was that the draft that Bowers got put back in the draft? Or is that the one?
No, that was the year after. Wait, wasn't that the one? That was the same year.
That was the same year. Yeah, Daryl Young went after Shane Bowers, right, because he didn't report to Cape Breton the year before.
Yeah.
So St. John was making a run for it, trying to get Shane Bowers to report up there too.
Wasn't that the other draft where they had a trade? Two teams had a trade in place, and then they didn't make the trade. I can't remember what his name was. Charlottetown, someone. I saw it on the Hockey Hat Guys documentary, and I can't remember who it was in Charlottetown.
Daniel Sprung?
No.
Because, man, he's been fun to watch this year, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to bug me because I don't remember who it was. It was a Russian guy. And they had the trade in place for him. And then Rimouski or someone. I don't know. Never mind. Backed out of it.
Not sure what you're talking about.
No.
I blacked out what happened.
Put that one on the blackboard for later.
All right. Well, that's...
Put it on the board.
Yes.
That's what happens when I try to remember stuff from a league I just started covering. But anyways, Mr. Boucher, stick tap of the week.
Stick tap of the week. I had one, but it changed this afternoon.
Oh, nice.
Stick tap of the week, I'm going to give to the corn maze at the Green Pig Country Market. I know, yes. Adam, you went and checked it out last week. Went with my family this afternoon, had a great time. It's an awesome autumn activity.
Do you work ever? Every time I get pictures and selfies of you on a treadmill, now you're at a corn maze. Like, what do you do, man?
Work. But no, it was a great time. It was a little wet, but hey, everything's more fun when it's a little wet.
It's not wrong.
What? Well, you're not gonna go to the beach and just lay in the sand. You're gonna
not with that attitude.
That's true. Yeah,
you're exactly. Gonna go in water, right? But it was a great time. I think it was the little one's free, 3 and under's free. $20 for the wife and I. It was awesome. Yeah, a lot of fun. The large
pumpkin shooting is pretty cool.
Yeah, the pumpkin shooting is awesome. The large maze is shaped in the Wildcats logo, which is awesome. But yeah, they got a couple really cool events coming up. The Haunted Corn Trail on the 19th and 20th, and the 26th and 27th.
Nope, not even a little bit would I go in that thing.
Oh, come on.
Nope. I can barely get through it in the daytime, let alone... Yeah, I don't do Halloween. I'm sorry. But you're very much right on that.
But yeah, Stick Tap, Corn Maze, Green Pig Country Market. Check it out. Had a great time. Bring the wife, bring the friends.
Bring your kids, too.
Bring your kids, especially in the daylight. Probably not fun in the nighttime.
No, probably not. Mr. Dobson, this started because on Twitter, the Q put out their line of the week. I mean, Cap's got a 7-game point streak. He's not even mentioned. There's no Maritime teams mentioned at all. So I'm like, you know what? We're going to give them love more than we do already with the show. But who's your cat of the week?
Well, the fact that you just stole the thunder on that. Yeah, obviously, you know. My cat of the week this week goes to center, number 20 for the Moncton Wildcats, Adam Capanelli. It's a no-brainer. 7-game point streak firing up right now. 9 points. He's got 2 goals, 7 assists. He's been an absolute stud for this team right now, which is something that we all said when the season started. We were expecting big things from Adam. You know, Adam obviously got injured last year before the season started, so he didn't get to start the season. He didn't get to play for a while before he finally was able to get into that lineup. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, this is the same guy. If you remember a couple years ago, when Moncton made the trade to get Adam Capanelli, you know, Roger Shannon at the time was quoted in saying, he's the guy, he was the first round pick we wanted, so we went out and traded to get him. So we traded our first to go get him, even though they could have drafted him.
Isn't it just easier to go
back? Either way, it doesn't matter. But
he's here.
The fact that he's here, he's been here for a couple of years, he's a pretty solid ambassador of this team, he's looking fantastic. My cat of the week goes to number 20, Adam Capanelli.
I like it. So that'll pretty much do it for us this week. We will see you guys next Wednesday. Big games coming up, 3 games coming up that we will recap. You can follow us on the social medias, the Facebook, the Twitter, the Instagram.
I saw the Facebook movie, but they told the, I saw Justin Timberlake. He said, remove the. It's just Facebook.
Oh, is it? All right. Real good. So you can follow us on the Twitter, the Instagram, and Facebook. Any last thoughts from you guys?
One thing I wanted to bring up from the Bathurst game. I know I tweeted about this during the game. Moncton's up 5-0 and have an off-takes penalty. And Gabriel Silvest just... You could just stand there and just let the shot go to the net, but he literally gets down in front of a shot and blocks it when your team's up 5-0.
That's leadership, my friend.
Yep. That's and leadership. That's, he might not be wearing a letter, but that's leading by example on the ice.
Well, how many times did we see it as well saying, hey, there's a lot of guys on this team who could be wearing a letter, and obviously they put the A's on some of the young guys there, but you look at a guy like Gabe, I mean, there's a reason he was brought in, and that wasn't just to relieve Nick Welsh of some ice time last year. That was because they were looking for some solid veteran leadership in that room, and he's an absolute, you know, gem to have on this team.
I very much agree. Let's hope we keep this thing rolling and get a W tonight in Gatineau. So we will see you guys next Wednesday. Have a good night.
A good night.
Bye-bye.